Nick Alberga joins us now. He's a co-host of Leafs Nation pre- and post-game, and he's doing the Stanley Cup Final pre- and post-game on the Sportsnet Radio Network as well. Nick, always great to chat with you, my friend. Hope you are safe and well. And, hey, I tell you one thing, Nick. You can say what you want. Back-to-back games, Tampa Bay and Dallas, overtime, double overtime. Nobody's in any rush to get out of that hub, are they?
No, they're not. It's been absolutely tremendous thus far. I think I echo the same sentiments of you off the top there that the NHL deserves to be applauded for everything they put forth the last, 57 days now. It's been pretty crazy how long this bubble has been put together. And the fact that, again, there have been zero positive COVID cases. I think all in all, considering the times, I think it's been a lot of fun to watch. I'm really into this Stanley Cup Finals. We had the game 6 Monday night between the Lightning and the Stars, and you're totally right. It's been fantastic, and the emotion. I couldn't be more pleased with everything that's transpired over the last couple months. That's for sure.
Very hard to argue with it, Nick. Now, one criticism though that is being made, and there may be some legitimacy to it. Although I do get what the NHL is trying to do is get that over with as quickly as possible. That's why they set up the record. And in their estimation, especially with no travel in the hubs, play back-to-back. As it turns out, the back-to-backs are an overtime and a double overtime. And then you really stop and think about it. Well, September 30th, October 1st, October 2nd, really, what the heck is the difference? I know they have their draft planned and everything else, but was that the right call by the NHL in retrospect now to play back-to-back games in a Stanley Cup final?
Well, I think it's important to note, and you make an excellent point, that it was actually the player's decision to have a back-to-back, which I totally agree with you. What's the difference of 1 or 2 days? But that's where we are, and I think they ran that risk, and the worst-case scenario took place, almost similar to a non-playoff team or a playoff team, winning the draft lottery, in which we saw in the New York Rangers, almost similar. Both games go to overtime, and I guess the fortunate thing for the NHL is they split the two games. But you're right. Quite frankly, bubble or not, I hope we never see a back-to-back in the Stanley Cup final again. It had been 11 years dating back, and I believe it was arena availability with Joe Louis back in the day in 2009, why game 1 and 2 of the Stanley Cup final in 2009 went in a back-to-back. I'm not a fan of it. I know the times are different, but I think it's important to note the players wanted this.
Well, and I guess we go back, and one of the reasons they probably wanted, Nick, is like I said, everybody does want to get out of there. It has been a long time in captivity, especially for these two teams. It's a couple of months, my heavens, they've been in. But the flip side is then, a lot of people thought during this there would come a point that teams would just say, oh my goodness, I'm so sick of this. They get down in a series 2-0 or 3-1, and that's it. Has not happened once. And I know some people will say, well, Vancouver Canucks should have went longer and they looked like they were disinterested at the end. It's like, I just don't buy it, Nick. And we really saw it last night. And Dallas beat up the way they were going into that game. They had every reason to say, the heck with it, let's get out of here. And nope, here we get going. And especially they deserve credit in terms of, so maybe they wanted to get out of the bubble in a hurry, but I go back to what I said at the start. Nobody really wants to leave in the Stanley Cup final either.
And that's exactly it. Gord Stellick and I were talking about that going into last night's game. What type of Dallas Stars team would we get, knowing that there could be light at the end of the bubble, so to speak? And for both teams, the season could have concluded and we could have been on our way to the offseason here in 2020. But I think you're totally right. It's been a battle-tested Dallas Stars team all season long, whether it was in the bubble or in the regular season. They've gone through some changes behind the bench, as we know now, Rick Bonus taking over for Jim Montgomery. And I think you're totally right in the way that team came out. They could have came out defeated, no doubt about that. You lose an OT. Kevin Shattenkirk scores that goal on Friday night. You're down 3-1 in the series. The odds are stacked against you. Everybody's throwing those statistics out there. Your chance to win this series is bleak. To be mild about it, but they put forth a great effort. And I love the undervalued story too, that it's some veterans, right? Guys who probably want to get out of that bubble. Corey Perry scores 2 goals. Joe Pavelski's been massive for this team in this bubble, 13 goals in 26 games. And Dallas is a really cool blend of some youngsters, guys who are upcoming, Denis Gorianov and guys like Jason Robertson and Jason Dickinson, Miro Heiskanen in the back end, Esa Lindell. But the veterans they've instilled in the lineup have been just so massive for why they're here right now. So I thought that was a really cool storyline as well from last night.
Well, without question, that the Dallas veterans were incredible. And Corey Perry saving the season by scoring the double overtime winner in Game 5. And Perry, in and of himself, is an interesting guy. And on the Hockey Night in Canada broadcast, Nick, they were talking about him. And Kevin Bieska, I think, basically had the point of saying, you know, there should be a camera on Corey Perry all the game because he's so interesting and so many different things happen, and he's all over the place. Well, he sure was all over the place last night.
He was, and he's a prototypical, like, you probably love to have him as a teammate, hate to play against him, right? And as we've seen him adjust through the time, I think it's easy to forget he was once one of the more prolific names in terms of goal scoring in this league. Rock Richard, I mean, he was mentioned in the conversation every season, but he has adapted his game. I think it's important to bring up, too, last offseason, the Anaheim Ducks buyout Corey Perry. He meant so much to that organization. I think Jim Nill, the GM of the Dallas Stars, deserves a lot of credit for going out on the market, picking up Corey Perry, and it's for reasons like this. I mean, it's no surprise, I'm sure, to Jim Nill that in the thick and thin, and it's the most important part of the year, and two guys you picked up in the offseason, and Joe Pavelski and Corey Perry, have been pretty much as advertised. I think you look at the numbers, they speak for themselves, these two guys, respectively, when it comes to the Stanley Cup playoffs. But you're right. I mean, Corey Perry has pretty much gotten away with murder so far in this series. He had a headlock, a chokehold. Like, what hasn't he done? But this is Corey Perry being effective, right? This is him playing his game. Every goal he scores is from like 2 feet. He just knows where to go to score goals. I don't care if he's 24 or 37 or whatever age he is. You know, it's those type of guys that you need to win. If you don't have guys like Corey Perry, I don't know if you're going to go far in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Well, you're right. And I think you really said it best in terms of, like, if he's on your team, you love him. And if he's not on your team, you hate him. In other words, he's a competitor. And say what you want, whether you like him or not, you'd like him on your team. You'd be cheering for him if he was wearing your favorite team's jersey. You're right about that. So now let's get to Tampa Bay. So Dallas and the adrenaline going, and you got to feel great. There's Tampa Bay thinking, okay, this is over. We're getting out of here. We're winning the Stanley Cup. And now have to turn around after, you know, playing three overtime periods and get into Game 6. What about the mentality of Tampa Bay, or everything considered, what they've been through and the kind of season they've had? The monkey's now permanently off their back, Nick, and we don't have to worry about their mental psyche. They didn't win a playoff game last year, after all.
You're right. And I think there's a comparable to like a boxing match, right? You take a couple shots, you go down, you get back up. And I think that's pretty much what we've seen here. Game 5, it didn't go Tampa's way. I think you just have to stick with it. I think far and away, they've been the better team in this series. I do feel strongly that Tampa is going to hoist Lord Stanley coming up tomorrow night. I think they're the better team. I think they just have to stick with the game plan. I'm just not sold that Dallas has a response specifically for that top line of Palat, Kucherov, and Point have now combined for 83 points in the bubble. I think the front runner right now, as we speak, for the Conn Smythe Trophy is Victor Hedman, another year finalist, you know, for the Norris Trophy. I think he's been tremendous. Not to mention some of the guys nobody talks about, you know, Ryan McDonagh, Mikhail Sergachev scores that goal last night. That spearheads once again the conversation on Twitter about the Drouin for Sergachev deal a couple years back between Montreal and Tampa. I just like the composition of Tampa. I like the resolve of this team. Let's not forget, you know, the statistics speaks for itself that every time Tampa has lost a game in this postseason, this bubble, whether it be the round robin or now into the actual Stanley Cup playoffs, they've come back with a victory. And we'll see if that continues into Game 6 coming up tomorrow night. But I think once they beat Columbus, I think it was in their heads that, hey, we can actually do this. So I think Tampa's got nothing to be ashamed of the way they played last night. I think they played really, really hard. Let's not forget, they're, what, 10 minutes away from winning the Stanley Cup. And Dallas came back. Joe Pavelski scores that big goal. Then Corey Perry wins it in double OT. So I think it's pretty simple for John Cooper's squad. Just continue to play your game, and you're going to reap the benefits, eventually, in my opinion.
I'm sure that's the message John Cooper exactly delivered to his team after last night's game. Wildly entertaining game, and a game they should have won, probably could have won. And off we go to Game 6, and that is tomorrow night. Stars look to force a Game 7, 8 p.m. tomorrow on Sportsnet and CBC. We're joined by Nick Alberga. I'm Roger Lajoie. This is Sportsnet Today. Regardless of how this ends, one of the sub-stories, major sub-stories of this series, in fact, playoffs for that matter, really from Tampa's, is Steven Stamkos, who did everything he could, obviously, to get back into the game, scored that electrifying goal on his first shot and shift. I mean, what a great story. And then winds up playing just a couple of minutes. And I know you can just see the kind of pain on John Cooper's face when the name is brought up in a press conference, but it has to be asked, is he now got a chance to play in game six? I got to think he's done, Nick, but are you hearing anything differently?
Yeah, so I agree with you. I think it's just gamesmanship at this point that you have to ask that question. But I do think the Stamkos 241 should be in one of those Canadian Heritage commercials. That was something else. It's hard to believe that even if this goes down and Stamkos plays just 241 in this Stanley Cup final, he could potentially have more goals than Tyler Seguin, who has 0-14. And that struggle is real, although I think his DNA has been all over the last couple games, 5 points in the last two. But I think you're right in bringing that up. I don't foresee a situation, especially the fact that we just got a back-to-back. I got it. They didn't play him on Friday night, but I think if he was ready to go when you're one win away from winning the Stanley Cup and he can't go, I just don't see a situation where Stamkos returns. And I think to Tampa's credit, they've played fine, I think is the word to use, and better than fine at moments without their captain. I think it's easy to forget. This run has been without Steven Stamkos, save for 241 of ice in a couple games ago, right? So they've been able to beat the better teams in this league without their captain. And I think a big reason why clearly is their top line. Nobody's had an answer, and that continues in this series. They look really, really motivated in the double OT last night. Didn't go their way, but Kucherov's been great. Point's been great. Palat's been a nice complimentary piece. Then Hedman on the back end. It really is an embarrassment of riches in Tampa. Obviously, in a perfect world, you'd love to have your captain in the lineup. But I think this team deserves a lot of credit for the fact that, again, they're still one win away from winning the Stanley Cup for the second time in franchise history, all of which they've done it without their captain and their leader.
Well, it is a great story how they managed to overcome that, because Stamkos, of course, his injury has been an ongoing thing with this team for a long time to come. So, Nick, you get into game six and you already said you expect Tampa to lift the Stanley Cup. But, when you get this deep into a series and everything else, obviously there's nothing new anybody can do, but is there a player or two maybe on both teams you're thinking, this might be their time to shine? You referred to Seguin and his struggles and the fact that he hasn't scored a goal but is starting to pick up some points. Tampa Bay's veterans, you talked about them. But sometimes, a Stanley Cup is won by the guy you kind of least expect.
You're right. The depth guys. I mean, you even look back to the days of Brian Bickle, right? And I'm happy you bring up this question because I'm actually putting my notes together for tomorrow night's game. And I have a section labeled Slump City. We can look at a couple guys from Dallas. Jamie Benn has one assist in five games after he tore the roof off the place against the Vegas Golden Knights in the conference final. No doubt he needs to step up. Tyler Seguin has mentioned 0-14. Alex Radulov, the veteran, who at points and times has looked really good and at some times you haven't noticed him. So far, really haven't noticed him in this series. He has one goal in the last 10 games. And the other guy I would throw into the conversation for Dallas is Denis Gurianov, who again is a rook. You're going to go through your ups and downs in this league, but he has one goal in the last 10. And then conversely, you look at Tampa, Tyler Johnson, 1-16, 0-8. Alex Killorn scored a couple games ago, 1-12, and Anthony Cirelli, 1-11. And that one goal being the bigger one, of course, defeating the New York Islanders there in the sixth game of the Eastern Conference final to get Tampa in this situation. But I think you're totally right. You need your depth players to step up this time of year. And on top of that, I would throw in the conversation that I talk about every broadcast with Gord, and that's special teams. I think if Dallas goes on to lose this series, I think it's pretty easy to decipher why they lost this series, or a big component as to why they lost the series. The numbers speak for themselves, Raj. Tampa 6-17 in the series on the power play. Dallas 1-16. So I'll go out on a limb. If Dallas can win the special teams battle here in game six, we're going to have a game seven, seventh heaven on Wednesday night.
We shall see if that happens. And one more before we let you go, Nick. I mentioned off the top on the show today that 2020 has been crazy. In fact, when you take a look at it, the NHL regular season is almost a full calendar year old. Mm-hmm. When you think about it, they actually start playing regular season games in early October, and here we are late September, and it ends, which is incredible. But they've completed it. The Stanley Cup will be presented either Monday or Wednesday night. And now, though, it's the NHL draft, followed by free agency. So the offseason calendar starts immediately. What are your expectations for the offseason? The draft is one thing. The draft is always great. It doesn't matter when you have the draft. But for NHL free agency, with so many question marks as to when this league is actually going to start up again.
Two words, utter pandemonium. The next couple weeks, I think, from a vantage point of a fan or a media personnel, is going to be a lot of fun to watch it unfold. You start October 6th with the NHL draft, where officially Alexi Lafreniere will become a member of the New York Rangers. There's a lot of intrigue when it comes to the Ottawa Senators at 3-5. What do they do? Do they potentially try to swing something with the Rangers? The New Jersey Devils have 3 first-round picks. I think the trade market might be as hot as it's ever been, which is kind of fascinating to me because of the flat cap and which teams are actually willing to take on money right now. We saw Detroit do that yesterday in the form of picking up Mark Stahl's contract for one more year at 5.7. So you could potentially see deals like that. And on top of that, as you mentioned, free agency hits us on October 9th, less than 2 weeks away. And there's some hot names on the market. Don't forget, I mean, Alex Pietrangelo is still headed towards free agency. We'll see if the Blues and him can mend their differences and come to a connection here. Torrey Krug's another guy. Taylor Hall. There's a lot of impact type players on the market. And I think that only adds to the intrigue of the offseason. So it's going to be a lot of fun, no doubt, to watch it transpire. You know, I'm very curious when it comes to the goaltending market, especially as we talk in this market. There's been a lot of conversation about Frederik Andersen's future. Do the Maple Leafs go after Jacob Markstrom, the Pietrangelo conversation? I think for every fan base right now, it's just a lot of fun, to see things come to an end. Just been, you know, one of those years that you want to forget in terms of the world and in sports. And it's been great that we've had this bubble, but also looking forward to the future. And also, I think it's so easy to forget, Raj, that at the end of the day, still with 31 teams, soon to be 32 with Seattle, 30 teams leave just unhappy with the way and have a sour taste in the season. And that includes, will include, Dallas or Tampa, which is crazy. And Gordon and I have talked about ad nauseum here in the bubble, how much it would stink to get to the Stanley Cup final and then lose the Stanley Cup final. So it's going to be utter pandemonium is the way I would describe the next couple weeks in the NHL world.
Well, we look forward to it. It'll give us an opportunity to talk about hockey while we wait to see when hockey will eventually return. But it's been great stuff so far, and it continues with Game 6 of the Stanley Cup final tomorrow night. Stars looking to force Game 7 against Tampa Bay, 8 p.m. on Sportsnet and CBC. Nick Alberga is the co-host of Leaf Nation pre- and post-game on the Sportsnet Radio Network, also handling the Stanley Cup final pre- and post-game duties as well on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Nick, great to have you on the show. Enjoy Monday night.
You're the best, Raj. Have a great Sunday.
And you too, sir.